Good morning to each and every one of you. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the name that is worthy to lift up above all names, and the name that has authority over everything. I am so thankful to be here and to see the sunshine and see that our God is in control of the universe, and He showed us in this last week how He can take just the weather and just turn it around from the opposite. It was just a blessing to see that. And I too say it's a blessing to see that we have sunshine and that there is not a day that we don't find a reason to thank God for the things He does. The topic for this morning will be prayer, as Levi already mentioned. And it's been a theme for beginning of the year. We didn't communicate anything, and well, when the German service was done, he said, "Hey, I'm talking about prayer too." I said, "Praise the Lord. That's what we need. We need prayer. We need to learn more about prayer, and I need to learn more about prayer, and I hope you too." And so the Lord teaches us how to pray, and so on. We're going to take a couple of different views about prayer this morning. Before that, and we'll read the text verse here in a little bit. The text verse is going to be 1 John 5:14. But prayer is something we deal with every day. At least we should. I hope we do. It's a prayer. I agree with what Levi said, and I see it that way too, that we should always live in prayer. Our life should be based on prayer. Everything we do should be in prayer. And everything should be done in God's name and for Him. Just as He says, if you give a glass of water to someone, it will not be, it will be rewarded. And so, therefore, everything should be in the presence of the Lord and in prayer. But we deal with prayer every day. At least we should, five times a day, where we take a moment where we pray, for example, for our meals or in the morning and in the evening. And so therefore it's very important that we learn more about what prayer is. Prayer is very, very important. It's much more important than we many times think, at least me. And so therefore we forget what prayer is all about. Sometimes it becomes a duty to us more than what the joy is in it. And so prayer is important. And there's so many different definitions of prayer and different people, how they look at prayer. I recently heard a brother, he's not from our church, encountered him somewhere else, and he says, true worship is when you are in a place where there's worship music, and he said, what true worship is when you have the music so loud that you can't hear your neighbor, and that's when you feel God's presence come to you. That is true worship. And that might be worship, but it's not biblical worship. It's not biblical prayer towards God. And so therefore, you know, we have so many different people that look at prayer differently, and so therefore it is important to look at prayer and what it really is and what it should accomplish and so on. The last time I preached is I was preaching on quiet time. I had these two topics already in my mind, and God had put them on my heart since last year that I was going to preach them this year. And so we've heard more about prayer and having a relationship, and therefore I think I too think so that God is putting something in our midst to really teach us something about prayer. And so again, one more comment about, you know, us having the thought, or people having the thought that coming before God and so on in this worship, about right worship and so on. I don't think that we have a right to come before God. Well, we don't have a right to come before God. There is only one thing that we can stand on before God, and that is His amazing grace. I believe that without His amazing grace, we are lost. We will tremble anyways before God if we're saved or not, because when we see God as He is, just for example, Revelations 1:17. We're not going to turn there, but that's where John, where he was on this island, and so that's where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And very interesting to see is when he sees Jesus, you know, he hears this voice behind him, and so he turns around and looks at Jesus, and he describes how he looked, how he was. He describes him, but then all of a sudden he says, "I fell down, and as I was dead." That is what John says when he saw Jesus as Jesus is now. He says, "I fell down as I was dead." So from that, there is no jumping and worshiping and this and that, and that we have now the right to come before God or so on. I believe we will tremble when we see God. And for that same reason is when the topic that we did last time is the quiet time. We need to come before God and be quiet. When we come before the true and holy God, we bow our head, because I don't think that we have a God that compromises this or that. So therefore, I think it's very important that we remember that we as sinful creatures don't have a right to come before God. We only stand on the foundation of grace, on God's amazing grace that He sent His Son so that we could come before Him. That is the only foundation which makes us worthy to come before Him. So now we'll read our text verse, and we'll go a little bit, we'll have some other verses. And so 1 John 5:14, this is where John has talked to the believers, and you know, verse 13 is a very, probably all of you know the verse, is where we have eternal life, but then here he says that we have, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. He's talking about that we have a trust in Jesus, that if we ask anything, and we can take out the next four words, and then we would have our will, right? We could pray for anything, and that would, we could do almost do anything. He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And so that, or if you could just take the word "if" out, then we could apply that almost to anything and put it in our will. But it is if we pray in His will, He hears us. So what is prayer? And I think most of us know that. Most of us know what prayer really is. Prayer is our form of communication with God. But prayer is very, very important. It's much more important than just praying to God. Prayer is our form of communicating with God, but it is also where we, and this goes very, very hand in hand with our quiet time. The way I'm talking here now is where we are quiet before God and where we have fellowship with God in prayer. It is our form of communicating with God. And God knows much, much better than we know what we really need. God is not shrinked in any way with time or space that we have to make an appointment or any we can just come before Him in any certain time. He's always there to hear us. And therefore, let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 6. And there Paul tells us that God is always there. Here he says that be anxious of nothing. That there's no necessity to be scared of anything. He says, be anxious of nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I think that is a huge statement right there. It says that we should not be anxious for nothing. But then we find the word, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. You know, we many times take the word everything out and just put a couple of little things, right? And so then we bring that to God, we pray for that, and the other things, we got that under control. But here it says that we can bring everything before God in prayer and supplication, and then also in thanksgiving, and that we can let our request be known to God is a huge statement. And also where God has given us grace and not justice, that we are able to come before Him. And so here He's welcoming us that we can let our request be known. Isn't that a very, very big blessing, a huge blessing that God invites us to make our request known? That is a total different God, a total different God than what the world looks at. They look at a God, a religious God, or so on. But this is that we shouldn't be anxious for anything. And that we can bring everything to God is just so big for me. In my life, and I think in general it is that way, that if we get in trouble, let's say we have something that we're in trouble with, or we got some problems, we apply all of our knowledge, all of our wisdom, and then when we're to the end of the road or to the end of our rope, finally we get to the, you know, to the point where we cry out to God, or we you know, start using our spare tire. That's where we use God for our spare tire. And I think that should not be, or it should not be that way. We should bring everything before God because we are now able to. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, or is it 21? I'm not sure. Somewhere in that area. I think it's 19, where it says that we have the boldness to come before God. Not the right, but the boldness. And so therefore, prayer is a form of communication that we are able to come before God. That is very big to me, and that we can make our requests known. We are created to have fellowship with God. I have tried for years and years in my previous life, and some of you might think that I'm believe in reincarnation. I believe I'm talking about my whole life. And so I've sought to fill this void inside of me with so many other things. And I think some of you can give your testimony to that as well. But Psalms chapter 42, verse 2, David says, "My soul thirsts of God, the living God." And I think that is the true fountain where we need to tie to, where we need to go with our soul and be filled, that our inner soul thirsts for God. We are created to have fellowship with God, to have this connection as Adam and Eve were when before they had sinned. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is another statement I want to look at, or another verse, is where it invites us to do something that we many times take for granted or take on our own. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Now, God has made us a way so that we can bring our cares to Him in prayer. God knows much, much better than we do what we need, or what we deal with, or how to take care of our cares, or with our troubles. And so many times we're caring so much about ourselves, we got everything under control, until we get in trouble. And there, that's when we come running to God and say, "Would you take care of me?" or so on. But I thought, what a blessing is it that God welcomes us to bring our cares to Him, to cast them on Him. It says cast them on Him. Like throw your cares on Him. Throw your cares on Jesus. For example, if you're in trouble, or if you have a problem somewhere, fill the lines for yourself if you're having a problem, or if you had. But you can fill the lines. Well, let's say you have a problem, and you're to the end of the rope. You don't have a solution for it. And then, you know, a good friend comes by and says, I got it. Just let me handle it for you. And you just let go and they just do it, you know, they take care of it. What a blessing, right? You go like, wow, thank you. And that's the same welcome that God gives us here. God gives us the welcome to cast our cares on His Son, for He cares for us. And I think that is where we many times have a problem, where we care so much for ourselves, and then we lack to cast our cares on Him, and then God becomes our spare tire. When we're in trouble, or when we're in problems, and when we're to the end of the rope, that's when we run to God and, you know, take out the spare tire and put it on until, you know, we have our tire fixed, and then put it back on. Now you get out of the way. That's sometimes the attitude that we as humankinds get, and it shouldn't be that way. Our souls thirst after God, the living God. And therefore, we should pray in a form of casting our cares on Him, having God as our priority in our life. It is such a blessing to think that God made a way so that you and I were able to come before Him, that we have the boldness to come before Him. If God would have given us justice, we would all be lost. But He gave us the foundation of grace that we can come before Him. In John chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus says, until now you have asked nothing in My name. He tells His disciples. And He says, and you will receive, ask, you will receive, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Here it is. Jesus longs for our joy to be full, to be filled, to that we can have full joy in Him, but we have to ask in His name. That is comes together perfectly with the verse we looked in Psalms chapter 42, that our souls thirst after God. Now Jesus says, pray in My name, ask, and your joy will be full. Our joy, our inner joy, that gives us the peace with God. And that is in prayer. What a privilege that we can come before Him and ask for the joy, and that He gives us the joy. Another question that could be asked is, how and when should we pray? Or when and how should we pray? There's different things out there that people think that there's a certain place, or maybe not so much that we have a certain place, but if you want to have real worship or get really close to God, then you need to go to a certain place and just really, really connect to God. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. This is where Jesus was at the well, at the Jacob's well with the Samaritan woman. And so, you know, they had this conversation about where the women ask Him, what do you have to do with us? For the Jews and the Samaritans, they don't have any connections and so on. There was a big wall built in between them. And so therefore, you know, she says, well, you as Jews say that prayer needs to be done in Jerusalem. And we think that it's over here at this certain place. And then Jesus says, In verse 23, but the hour is coming. He's talking about they were looking forward to an hour to communicate with God. And it says, and the hour is coming and is now. And now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. He says, that is the moment that is coming. He says, that moment is here. That you should worship in truth and in spirit. Now the next part of the verse says, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Another verse that we could look at is Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. This is where His disciples were, Jesus taught them how to preach. how to pray. And so he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees that stand at the corners of the streets and pray long prayers so that they could be seen. But he says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees the secret will reward you openly. Now, we could take this all the way to one side of the road and say, you can only pray in your closet, or you can only pray where it's your quiet time. And so there, this ties together with the message of quiet time. And this tells us that we should be quiet before God. But then we have verses like Acts chapter 4, verse 24, where John and Peter, where they had been in prison, and then the congregation had prayed. And so when they were out, it says in verse 24, it says, so when they heard that, that they were free, it says, it has the word they. So it's talking about the congregation. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heavens and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Here we clearly see that the congregation, they prayed. First, we see that Jesus says you should pray in spirit and in truth, but then we could take it all the way to the other side and say it is only in your closet, but then we find as well as this. Another thing that I want to look at is in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 15. Psalms chapter 50, verse 15. Again, there's another comment about, I made a little bit earlier about us bringing our troubles before Him or just crying out when we're in trouble. Here in this verse, God actually invites us to come before Him in our trouble. Look at what it says in verse 15. He says, call upon me in the days of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So this is very interesting how He says it. Call upon me in the day of your trouble. You know, again, if you're in trouble somewhere, you can call a friend. There's a saying that you got friends, everybody, until you have a problem, then they're all gone, right? But if you can call up somebody and say, hey, I'm in trouble, can you help me? And if they're like open and so on, it's just, you know, you feel blessed. And God is inviting us. He says, call upon me. Call upon me in your days of your trouble. I will deliver you. I will deliver you. This is a promise. He will deliver us. When we're in trouble, we can call upon God and He will deliver us. Now the next thing He says, and you shall glorify me. You shall glorify me. That is our duty, to glorify God. But the promise here is He will deliver us if we call on Him. If we call on Him. Call upon me in the days of your trouble and I will deliver you. Ephesians 6:18 calls us to pray all the time. All the time and everything. Goes very much hand in hand of what Levi already shared. That everything we do should be in prayer. Everything we do. I believe God is preparing us in prayer for something that we don't see. A couple of verses we're going to look at is, when does God hear our prayers? And there's a lot of them. I'm just going to mention a couple of them, but some very basic verses, such as, you know, our text verse. When we pray in His will. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. In His praying, in His will, asking in His will. Now we could go to Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and say, where Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What do you do with a verse like this? Just pray and you will have it. Just believe and you'll have it. But you tie that together with other scriptures like 1 John 5, verse 14, and then you apply a praying in the will of God. and then you will have it. It is just like, you know, us as fathers or the mothers, you know, as well. You know, a little five-year-old boy comes and asks for something that you would give to an 18-year. Our little daughter asked me if she could drive the other day with our car. And she sat on my lap, and she got the steering wheel, and she goes on this way, and she goes like this, and you know, she would have hit, you know, the barn or anything. And I go like, no, this way, you can't drive yet. That's how we are sometimes with God. God, give me this big thing that I need today. I'll take care of it, and you know, you look at the little child, and you're like, that's just a silly question, right? You'll run into anything, and I think that is how we are sometimes with God. We ask something, but we don't ask in the will of God. In the will of God. Praying in the will of God, and God gives His promise. He will give us what we need. John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." Again, we have to fill the space here. We have to pray in God's will, in His will. But here He says what that purpose is going to be. He says, let me read it again. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That is the purpose of that. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. James tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now we're going to look at what are some things that can hinder our prayers. Through what are our prayers hindered? And I think number one that I always have to look out for is that I spend my time, that my time is well spent, that I don't spend my time in something that is earthly or whatever. Sometimes we find it hard to spend 30 minutes reading the Bible or being in prayer, or maybe an hour. But we find it, you know, it's 30 minutes fly by when you're on your phone watching a video or doing anything else. Time just flies by. But when we're connected to God, it's just 30 minutes. Oh, I did my duty, right? That's how we sometimes feel. That can be a hindrance when we don't, the time that is given to us by God, when we don't use that time for the right purpose. Every moment of our life is for a purpose. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Let them ask in faith." Here he talks again about prayer. If we're asking God for something. And now he says, "Let them ask in faith, not with no doubting." With no doubting. The word doubting is there. So if we ask, we ought to ask with faith, with not doubting. For he says, "Him who doubts is like a wave on the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Let him not suppose that he will receive anything. So we need to pray in faith. But again, tie that to the will of God. I had an encounter with a man not long ago, and he was very, very upset about God not answering his prayer because he had prayed something in faith. And he said, "If you pray in faith, it will be done." And so I asked him, "What do you do with the will of God?" And he was very troubled. So with everything, tie the will of God in there, and you can pray almost for anything. If you put the will of God in there, it'll be, God will answer. Again, if you're asking for something that a 60-year-old would have or someone that's more mature, you're probably not going to get it because it's for your good. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, that verse sparked me yesterday when I read it. Let's turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Here he talks to those, listen what it says. One who turns away his ear from the hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. That is strong language. If someone turns his ear away from the law of God, his prayer, even his prayer, is an abomination. It is even worse than just a sin. You know, there's this sin that God hates, but an abomination is even worse. So here it says that if we turn our ears from the word of God, that is an abomination. Our prayer becomes an abomination to the Lord. And here's that quote. I wish Levi would have had quoted it, but he left it for me. Charles Spurgeon said, he was asked, what is more important, reading or praying? And he asked, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? What's more important? And so I was like, that's interesting. Praying or reading, what's more important? And he says, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? How long can you hold your breath? You just have to let it go. It's vice versa. It's both ways. And therefore, this verse says, if you forsake God's word, or if you don't listen to God's word and still pray, that becomes an abomination. So it is in and out. The reading the word of God is a form of breathing in, and praying and communicating is a way of out. And there's much, much more to that. Another thing that hinders our prayer is in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Here he says, the Lord's hand, the Lord's arm is not shortened. His ear is not hard that he can't hear. But then he goes in verse 2 and says, but your iniquities have separated you from God, from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Sin, iniquities. He says, that is why God does not want to hear you. So that is definitely one of the top things that turns the Lord's face away from us when we have sin in our life. The next thing could be unforgiveness. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, where Jesus tells his disciples, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against someone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. It says, if you have anything against someone, don't we sometimes think that if we have anything against someone, that it's their duty to come and ask me for forgiveness? Well, the moment he's going to ask me for forgiveness, I'll forgive him, and we'll be all fine. The Bible says, forgive him. A wrong concept or a wrong understanding of what forgiveness really is. That is what we as Mennonites struggle with. When we think about forgiveness, we think about somebody pleading us for forgiveness. And that is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is when somebody sinned against you, you ought to forgive them before they even come and ask for forgiveness. It's not even their duty to come ask for forgiveness. Yes, they, for their conscience sake, they can come and say, I am sorry, or so on. But forgiving is your duty. It is our duty to forgive. And he says, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. That our Father in heaven will forgive us. Therefore, we ought to forgive. Forgive him, he says, if you have anything against anyone. When you're praying, note that. He says, let me read it again. When you stand praying, if you have anything against someone, forgive them, that your sins will be forgiven. Totally tied to our neighbor. Totally tied to someone that we need to forgive is so that we can be forgiven. James chapter 4, verse 3, we'll close off with this verse. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive. Well, we have Jesus saying, ask and you will receive. Now James says, you ask and do not receive. Because you ask amiss, or you ask in a wrong way, that you may spend it on your pleasure. And I think people, we as people, are very, very tempted to do so. Is, I need a new truck, I need a new house. We have a whole list of what we need. But if God sees that it is for our pleasure, He will not give it to us. He says, you ask and do not receive. Again, we pray beside the will of God. With that, we'll close. We'll sum it up here very shortly or very quick. God wants to hear us. We can make our requests known to God. He cares for us. We can cast our cares on Him. He invites us to cast our cares on Him in prayer. Prayer is much, much more important than we many times think. Prayer is the only form of communication that we have with our Creator. God seeks a true worshiper that worships in truth and in spirit. We need to always remember when we pray that we pray in the will of God and that we take time for prayer, that we take time for prayer. Our prayers can be hindered through many, many things. Some of the things we've looked at is through doubt, through sin, unforgiveness, and so on. We'll close it with that. Can we stand for prayer, please?